Thank you so much to our choir. Thank you so much to Brother Zach and Brother Bo and Brother Aaron, all those who get all of this together. They've been practicing for a while for that, and what a blessing it was this morning. Let's give them another round of applause, if you don't mind. They worked very hard with that. And I am sure Brother Zach has ulcers because of days like today, because he worries and he worries and he worries. But what a blessing, boy, our choir is to our church. And I want to encourage you, boy, if you've got a heart to sing for the Lord, Brother Zach can help you get that noise out of there and polish it up a little bit. So I want to encourage you, if you'd love to be a part of the choir, see Brother Zach. And boy, be a blessing with the talents God gives you. Job chapter 19, if you're there, let's go ahead and stand together. Very unusual Easter passage today, but if you want wanted a traditional Easter message, that was at 9:30, and this is going to be untraditional this morning. Job chapter number 19, I want you to look all the way down to about verse, look down to verse number 25. I'm sorry, look at verse 23. Let's go back there just a little bit. We'll backtrack. The Bible says, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." Notice exclamation point there. "That they were graven with an iron pen and led in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." The Bible says, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Father, thank you for the wonderful singing. The message has been preached through song, and help us just to present an invitation. Father, I thank you for our choir. I thank you, Lord, for our people who lift up their voice in praise to you for who you are and for all that you've done, and most importantly, for your Son rising from the grave, that we could have eternity, Lord, in heaven with you. Father, I pray, Lord, as we have a few minutes in your word this morning, I pray that our hearts are ready to receive the word. I pray that, Father, there be no distractions today from allowing your Spirit to have its will and its way in our hearts. Lord, for the saved today, help us rejoice and say hallelujah within our hearts that there is a risen Savior. And Father, for those who here today that may not know Christ, Lord, I pray that if there's one within the sound of our voice in this room or even watching at home who is not 100% certain that heaven's their home, Father, I pray they would come and be saved today. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing it would be for someone to come to know Christ on the day we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. I pray your will be done, whatever it may be, whether it's said out of my mouth, Lord, I pray we would hear, more importantly, your Spirit, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I know the book of Job is not a book that you probably thought on the way to church this morning. That's what we're going to hear today. We're going to hear out of the book of Job. It's amazing how the Lord leads you to different places to preach different things, and no doubt this is where he's had us to go today. And I just want to encourage you to open your hearts for the next few minutes. I'm going to do my best to keep it brief today, to share a short truth about what they were singing about. Now, the story of Job is one we know well. If you've been raised in church, I'm sure at some point in your life you've heard the story of Job, but just in case you need a refresher, Job is a godly man. Job was a man who the Bible says in Job 1 walked with God. Job had the favor of God and the blessings of God. He was a rich, in our day's standards, probably a billionaire. He had houses and land. He had a wonderful family and children. And all of a sudden, on one day, Satan was allowed to touch what God had given him. Satan was allowed to touch the house where his children were eating at, and at one fell swoop, he lost all of his children. Not long after that, he would lose all of his property, all of his riches, and all of his wealth. Not long after that, he would lose all of his health. Now, this was after God had given an amazing testimony about this man, Job, that he walked with God. He was perfect, meaning he was complete, he was upright, and he feared God, and he eschewed evil. That means that Job pushed away from evil. He was a man who genuinely walked with God. And yet Satan said he'll turn his back on you if you just simply take away all that he has. So now God's testimony of Job is at stake, and God allows Job's life to be touched by Satan, only sparing his physical life. And we see in the testimony of Job how agonizing what he was going through was. If you look at verse 2 of chapter 19, the Bible says, "How long will you vex my soul and break in pieces with words?" Job's a broken man. Job's hurting because he's lost his children. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his stature. Job has lost the support of his friends. As a matter of fact, he is answering his friends in chapter 19 who are ridiculing him for the trial that he's going through. You look at verse number 3. These 10 times have ye reproached me. You're not ashamed that ye make yourselves strange to me. Job's friends see all that he's going through and say, you must be out of the will of God, Job. This must be God touching you, Job. And these 10 times, Bildad and the friends that are there are ridiculing him for all that he's going through. I mean, you read verse 8 down through about verse 25. His friends turn their back on him. Even the children are talking about him. When you get down there, talking about the young ones who are ridiculing Job. Verse 18, yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. Verse 19, all my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. Verse 20 talks about his physical health, and there's a phrase you might know from common terminology, my bone cleaveth to my skin. He was skin and bones, literally, and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. He begs, have pity upon me. Have pity. He's going through this trial that he's going through. He is as low, I think, as any human being next to Christ could ever be. He's hurt. He's physically hurt. He's betrayed. He's lost everything that he has. And we see how low he is. But I want you to notice something. The mood changes suddenly in chapter 19. We're reading how bad things are and how low Job is. And then all of a sudden the mood begins to change when he declares something down in verse number 25. He says, my kids are gone. My wealth is gone. My stature is gone. My friends are gone. The support of my wife is gone. My reputation is gone. And then suddenly he declares something in verse 25 that strengthens him like nothing else can strengthen you. What is it? Verse 25. Even though all of those things are gone, he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Can I ask you this morning, what kept Job alive? When he lost everything, it had all been taken from him. He was low as he could ever get. Everybody had turned their back on him. And yet Job stayed faithful to God. What was it? It was a simple fact that when everything else was gone, he knew that he served a risen Savior. He says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. He didn't know about his future wealth. He didn't know about his future family, by the way, that God would restore for him. He didn't know about all of those things. But the one thing that kept him going was knowing that his Redeemer was alive. Now, I want you to hear me out this morning. You and I, living in 2024, particularly in the United States of America, we need reassurances, don't we? I mean, day to day, we don't know if the world's going to end, this thing's going to catch fire, and like Chicken Little, if the sky is going to fall. Can I tell you something? There's great reassurance, and you only need one, and that's the reassurance that our Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day. If you're saved this morning, hear me out. The Jesus Christ that left heaven, came down and died on the cross that they sang about, shed his precious blood for you and I, was placed in that grave. But then 3 days later, he came out of that grave. He's on the right hand of the Father. And because he lives, you can face tomorrow. And listen, you don't have to have all the money in the bank, all the intelligence in the world. Aren't you glad? Amen. Yeah, all of us are kind of slow. We amen on that one. Why? Boy, I tell you, you may not have all the intelligence and the accolades and the degrees, but there's reassurance this morning in the resurrection of Christ. And for a few minutes, I'm going to preach on this subject, resurrection reassurances. And I want to give you three right quickly. If you'll pay attention, nod your head, amen, every once in a while, it'll go by quicker, I promise you, all right? Look down if you will. Job says in verse 23, oh, that they were now written. Here's what he says, write this down. Your wife ever tell you that, husbands? Mine does, because I need to write it down or I'll forget it. Job says this, watch, write this down. Oh, that this was written down, that the words were printed in a book and graven with an iron pen. In spite of all that he's going through, he says, there's one thing you need to jot down. Here it is. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Number one this morning, let me give you the first resurrection reassurance. Number one, your Redeemer lives. Real deep stuff this morning, all right? your Redeemer lives. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, listen, it's all right to smile in church. Some of you almost look like you're trying. I really do. Look, before we get out of here today, you ought to smile once in a while. Why? Because I'm a good preacher? Not at all. We know better than that. But because we have a risen Savior who's on the right hand of God today. Listen, your bank account may have died. Your job may have died. Your industry may have died. But our Redeemer lives. I'll tell you this morning, that's enough to keep you going. Look, friendships die, relationships die. I mean, things come and go in this life. It's the nature of a cursed world. Nothing stays the same. Things fall apart. You build a new house, you're going to have to paint it in just a few years, unless you get vinyl siding, all right? But then you have to change it out when you throw a rock through it, okay? That's just, you got to balance out, pick your poison. You get a new car, it looks great, and it's got that new car smell. Isn't that great? I love it. And all of a sudden, it smells like French fries and Happy Meals. Nothing stays the same. Things go downhill. We're living in a sin-cursed world. Our beautiful, wonderful children that are happy and healthy are going to grow up, and they're going to go over the hill of 40, and before long, they're taking vitamins like Skittles. Why? Because we don't get better. We get worse. We go downhill. Things break down. But can I tell you one thing that'll keep you going when everything else is gone? It's the simple fact that your Redeemer lives. He's alive. All right? Let's quit acting like God died. We do. Things come and go. People come and go. We act like it's the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. The world ends when God dies. And if God dies, you got every reason to complain. All right? To gripe and to be critical, but he hasn't died. Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. You see, what you know will change the way you live. Job's as low as Job and anybody could ever be. He buried 10 children at one time. And yet he says, for I know that my Redeemer lives and he shall stand at the latter day. Many years ago, Brother T.J. Mitchell, youth pastor here, invited Leslie and I to help him set up a haunted house for the teenagers. Some of them are in the room this morning. I'm sorry. I apologize. I says, we're going to do what? We're going to set up a haunted house in Bassfield, Mississippi, in this old house. It was creepy, creepy. And we get out there, and he says, all right, we're going to have somebody jump out of the wall here with a chainsaw. I'm like, excuse me? You know, I don't know if I want to be a part of that. And he says, we're going to jump out of the woods here, and we're going to scare them with axes and chainsaws and all this, but there was no chain on the chainsaw. It was like, wah, 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 but there was no chain on it, okay? So it wasn't going to hurt. Some of you parents are like, what? Yes, that was not me. I was not pastor then, okay? So my wife and I come along and got all the teenagers there, and we're walking through, and all of a sudden, here they come, bah, 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 with the chainsaw, and I can't help but laugh, all right? Why? Because what I know he's not going to cut me. I knew it was coming. You see, I know the guy who planned it, and he's nuts, all right? And I'm glad he told me. All right, you can tell him I said that. He thinks I'm nuts too, all right? I knew the guy who planned it, and I wasn't worried at all because I knew that it was planned ahead of time. Now, hear me out. When you know that your Redeemer lives, all of a sudden you realize you know the one who's planned it. And the devil's going to jump out at you, and he's going to chase you with fake chainsaws that can't hurt you, and suddenly you have more peace in your life. Why? Because you know your Redeemer lives. I know the one who planned all of this. We're living in times the Bible calls perilous. It's scary. It's scary when you have a White House Easter celebration and you can have coloring sheets for kids with no semblance of any religious deities. I kind of thought that's what Easter was all about. We're living in perilous times. Oh my goodness, these are perilous times. You know, if you go read your Bible, the Bible says that God knew it was going to be perilous. You see, you know the one who's planned all of this. And when you know that, what happens? It doesn't matter how low you get, you realize your God's in charge. I'll tell you something. Our Redeemer is still where he was when he went to the right hand of God. He's still there. He hasn't gone anywhere. It's kind of like a lifeguard. When I was a kid, we lived on the Atlantic Ocean. And you walked out the back door, about 30, 40 feet of grass, and then there was the beach. There was a dune to go over to get to the water, but we lived right there on the ocean. We'd go out, and we'd walk the beach in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, and they had these lifeguard stations. And we get out there and swim, and I could swim pretty good, and my brother and sister could swim pretty good. We get on the boogie boards out there and looking for shark's teeth. And can I tell you, there was a great comfort when big waves would come through. When we would look over at the lifeguard station, you'd see the guy on his post. He's there. Well, the flag was flying. He's letting us know it's green, it's a good day, it's red. Don't get out there on a bad day. It was such a comfort to know he was in his place. Can I tell you, the waves of life can get rough, can't they? can't they? The waves at your job, the waves in your home, the waves with your children, the waves with your marriage, they can get rough. I get it, okay? You know why? Because we're humans and we're living in a cursed world. But boy, what a comfort it is to look up on the lifeguard station of heaven and know that my Redeemer lives and he's on the job. And even though I may get low like Job is low, wait a minute, the Bible says, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day. You see, that's why it's important you know you're saved. Do you know you're saved today? Is he your Redeemer? Do you know that? Do you know that if you died right now, you're going to heaven? If he's not your Redeemer, then you've got a reason to be scared. But the good news is the Bible says, for whosoever, that's anybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. He died and rose again for you, just like he died and rose again for me. How did Job do it? Well, he realized his Redeemer lives. He had reassurance. Years ago, we were living in Jeff Davis County, and the nearest city to us was 3 miles away. It was Bassfield, and that was the closest police station. And if it was something that I couldn't handle, or Brother Seth, he lived there, couldn't handle, my dad couldn't handle, then you call the police. One day, we found out that our police station was going out of business. It wasn't because of lack of business. It was just because of funding and things along that line. And for a moment, I thought, well, I guess we're on our own. But you know, you redneck men are like, you don't mind that, do you? Well, John Wayne did all the way, right? Take care of yourself. Thought to myself, well, I guess we're on our own. Well, it's kind of a scary thought. Who are you going to call? There's nobody there. There's the police station went out of business. I mean, I'm telling you, what a scary thought. What a scary thought it would be if there was nobody to call. There was no father to call. There was no Redeemer on the right hand of God to call. But oh, my Redeemer lives. Can I just encourage you this morning, relax, take a deep breath. God knew what is happening is going to happen a long time ago. If you just realize this morning your God's still on the throne and your Redeemer's still alive, you'll be amazed. No matter how low you get, you'll be able to pick yourself back up. Why? Because he's alive. He's alive. Right now we're in the Islamic holy month of Ramadan. We're right in the thick of it right now. And I've been watching on television how they're observing and reading a little bit about what they're doing and different people are doing. And so many people passing by the grave of Muhammad. Listen, I'm not running somebody else's religion down. As a matter of fact, my heart breaks for people who have a God that you can visit his grave. Man, what a scary thought to go to the tomb of Jesus and say, well, I've got this problem with my home. I've got this problem with my kids. I've got this problem with my relationships. And boy, I really wish you could do something, but you can't hear me because you're dead. But wait a minute, ours is not. The tomb is empty. My Redeemer lives. Wait a minute, how bad have you got it? I promise you, nobody in here this morning has it as bad as Job had it. Job lost all that he had, and yet all of a sudden the mood turns around when he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. It's through him we live no matter what. What did he say? Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Look, though your relationships may be dead, they can live through Christ. Hey, though your marriage might be dead, it can live through Christ. No matter what it is this morning, it can live through Christ. Why? Because he's alive. And because he's alive, Job says, well, if he's alive, that means I can live through what I'm going through as well. Number one, first reassurance, notice that your Redeemer lives. We're going to keep it simple today, all right? Keep reading down verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. What a great thought. Our Redeemer lives. That's good to know, isn't it? He's alive. But wait a minute. People have trusted in kings and kingdoms for years. What is the song? Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. People have trusted in kings and kingdoms for years, nations for years. Rome rose, Rome fell. If your trust was in Rome, it all fell. If your trust is in America, it's going to fall one day too. The Bible says that. Just watch and see. Your trust is in the stock market, it's going to fall, I promise you. But hear me out. The Bible says that he shall stand at the latter day. Not only, watch number one, our first reassurance is that our Redeemer lives. Number two, your Redeemer lasts. Notice it says, he shall stand at the latter day. Job is broken. Hear me out. Oh, this is good. Job is broken and Job is burdened. But Job is not abandoned. And he says, not only does my Redeemer live, but he's going to keep living, and that he's going to stand at the latter day. You know, when you invest in something, you want to invest in something that lasts, right? Yeah, you want to invest in something that's going to be around a little while so you get a return on your investment. There's no greater investment than to invest your eternity than the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He's going to last. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He's alive today. And not only is he alive today, he's going to be alive tomorrow, and he's going to be alive on Tuesday. He's going to be alive on your worst day you've ever had. He's still on the job. Isn't it a blessing to know that at the latter day, the one we've trusted in is going to be there? Job, as the song says, found a resting place for his faith. I looked that song up this week. My faith has found a resting place. And found something interesting that I never knew about Eliza Hewitt. She was a public school teacher. She wrote the song, "My faith has found a resting place." Listen to the verses. "Not in device or creed, I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me." She says, listen, "I have found a resting place for my faith. I have placed my faith in the ever-living one." She didn't place her faith in something temporal. You're like, wow, I wish I could have that. Let me tell you something about her. She's a public school teacher, and one day a student comes up behind her and hits her in the back of the head with a very heavy slate, and she was rendered an invalid the rest of her life. She would go on to write songs like "Sunshine in My Soul" and "More About Jesus." Do you know if something like that happened to you and I, many of us would not make it spiritually. How did she keep on living? How did she keep on living? I'll tell you how. It's because her Savior was keeping on living. You see, you need to make sure that what you're living for is going to live. Too many of us this morning are living for things that aren't going to live. You're going to outlive what you're living for. If you're living for fun and you're living for this life and you're living for pleasure in this life and self-gratification in this life, I hate to tell you this, those things come and go. You better make sure you're living for something that's going to continue living. And that's why she wrote "Sunshine in My Soul" as an invalid. The other day I was going down the road and I had a cup of coffee. I usually do. In my cup holder. And does anybody else in here have like a mental clock that tells you how many sips you have left? Okay, maybe not. Maybe I'm the only person who has it. I'm special. All right. And I knew I had one sip left. Reached down, grabbed the cup, turned it up. And it was empty. I want to tell you something. That's disappointing. When you think you have one sip left. Brother Michael bought me this great coffee in Texas, this HEB coffee. I forget what's caramel and something else in it. Boy, it's so good. And I was craving that last sip, and I turned it up and realized it was empty. Can I tell you, you'll never go to Christ and be disappointed because he doesn't have what you're looking for. He's the everlasting one. He never runs out. The other day, I got on my knees and prayed before I started my day, and I said, "Lord, you say you make your grace, your mercies new every day." I said, "I need some new mercy." Have you ever had a day where you felt like you used all the mercy that God could give you? And you think, well, tomorrow morning, it's it. As soon as I make a mistake, he's going to nuke me. And you wake up and you go and you look, and God has provided more mercy. He's the ever-living one. He's the everlasting one. This morning, there's some reassurance in the resurrection. If you realize your Redeemer lives. Number two, he's going to last. Isaiah 40:28, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not?" Do you know, this is real deep, isn't it? Do you know why I have an everlasting life? Because I have an everlasting God. I have everlasting life because I have an everlasting God. I wonder this morning, number one, do you have everlasting life? So I'd love to have that. Well, you better have the everlasting God. You better not be able to go to the tomb of your God. You better not be able to go to the place and lay flowers at the grave of your God. The only one that's called the everlasting God is our God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Do you remember when Jesus' birth was announced in Isaiah 9:6? Do you remember what they called him? Counselor, Everlasting Father. That's his name. That's his name. That's who he is. That's not who he pretends to be. That's not who he tries to be. He is the Everlasting Father. You see, this morning, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you're facing at work, in your relationships, no matter what you're facing in your marriage, you can keep going. Why? Because the resurrection reassures us that our Redeemer lives. And not only does he live, he's going to last. He's going to outlast your problems. Don't you love it? I read an article today about crows and eagles, okay? And how a crow likes to aggravate eagles, okay? Doesn't that seem like something a crow would do? I don't know any crows personally, but that just seems like they would do. You know, they get on the vent in the kitchen and they caw, caw, they make all this racket all the time. Just obnoxious critters. And that crow will come up and land on the back of the eagle. And he starts pecking at the neck of the eagle, okay? Because he thinks he's all of that in a bag of chips, you know? The eagle doesn't fight him off. Amazing story. The eagle begins to flap his wings and climb. And he climbs to altitudes that the crow can't survive. And after a little while, that crow falls off. He passes out. I hope he wakes up somewhere between there and the ground or he's dead. They ought to teach that in crow school. Don't fight with eagles. Can I tell you, the eagle can outlast the crow. And if your God is not my God, my God's going to outlast yours. But if your God is my God can outlast your problems. Isn't that great? You're thinking, this is never going to end. It's never going to be over. How are we going to get through this? This man went through 42 chapters of nightmare, losing everything he had. Everybody betrayed him. He lost all that he had. And yet at the end he says, my Redeemer liveth. What kept you going, Job? One day we're going to see Job. We're going to meet him in heaven. And I want to tell you something. I believe his testimony is going to be the same. Job, how'd you get through that? Well, I knew that my Redeemer lives, and I knew that my Redeemer lasts. Hebrews 7:22, and I'll give you the last point. The Bible says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests. I was talking about the Old Testament priest system. You had priests and priests and priests. But wait a minute. Watch what it says about those priests. Because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. All right. He said, what does that mean? Well, it just simply means they couldn't keep doing their job because they died. All right? Watch what the Bible says about Jesus, our priest. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to unto him, unto God by him, seeing, here it comes, he ever liveth to make intercession. He ever liveth. Do you know why Job just kept on living no matter how tough and how hard it got? It's because his Savior was an ever-living Savior. I'm going to ask you again, do you know him? Boy, it sure would be nice to know him this morning if you're going through something. Finally, I want you to see one of the best parts. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Wait a minute, there's an and there. Verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. You think to yourself, well, that's great for him. He lives, and he lasts, but I'm only 44, and I can tell I'm not going to last. Right? I told you, I got the little pill collector. I'm officially old. I know I'm not going to last. Well, he lives and he lasts, but wait a minute, what's that mean for me? Well, right there in verse 26 it says, after skin worms destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Now, the final reassurance I want you to notice about Job, number one, his Redeemer lives, his Redeemer lasts, and finally, if you're saved here this morning, could I just remind you that your Redeemer loves? Stick with me. Why would an everlasting God choose to give everlasting life to you and I? Why? I wouldn't give it to me. I mean, honest, I wouldn't give it to me. I don't know how many times I've gone to God after I have asked for forgiveness and failed him again. I would not give me ever. I don't want that guy coming to heaven with me. You ever had somebody you just didn't want to come over to your house? Let's all be honest. Yeah. You know it. Everybody's shaking their head and smiling. You're smiling because you're guilty. Like, I don't want to come to my house. Well, can you imagine spending eternity with somebody like that? Some of you are going to be spending eternity with people like that. I hate to tell you. Some of those people who annoy you are saved, and you're going to spend eternity with them. Yeah, you better figure that out before you get there, okay? And yet God says, I want them to have everlasting life with me. Can I ask you one more time? Why? Well, I'll tell you why. There's a very easy verse that'll tell you why. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What did he say he would give to him at the very end of John 3:16? Everlasting life. You see, number one, the greatest reassurance we have because of the resurrection of Christ is that our Redeemer lives. And then we have the reassurance that not only does he live now, he will live later. We have a Redeemer that lasts. And oh, the greatest reason this morning that you and I get to have everlasting life is because our Redeemer loves. For God so loved the world. Psalms 48:14, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Can I ask you this? I'm closing my Bible, but I want you to don't leave just yet, okay? Stick with me. He says he's our God forever and ever, even unto death. He's our guide. You know, one day I will breathe my last breath in this life. I hope it's not soon, so don't help me out with that, okay? But one day I will. And when I breathe my last breath here, I don't know the way from here. I don't know how to get my soul to heaven on my own. I have to trust a trusted guide. The Bible says that our Redeemer, this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. That means when I breathe my last breath, I've been in hospital rooms many times. I've been in people's bedside in their homes, and they breathe their last breath. And at that moment, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, the presence of Jesus Christ ushers them into the presence of his Father. He's their guide. Why? Because he's a Redeemer that loves. Can I ask you, do you have that guide today? If the trump of God were to sound right now, or you to breathe your last breath right now, do you know for sure that that sweet, precious hand of Jesus Christ would take you by the hand and guide you into the presence of his Father? Do you know that? I'm talking about, do you know it? Job says, for I know. I know it. What you know will change everything, but who you know will change your eternity. Do you know what Job knew? Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt, if you died right now, you're going to heaven? Do you know that? You say, absolutely, I know that. Wonderful. Watch this. Relax. Relax. Your Redeemer lives. Your Redeemer is going to last, and your Redeemer still loves you. He's on the job. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, could I beg you, and I mean that with all of my heart, could I beg you to know what Job knew? And his name is Jesus. Do you know Christ? If you don't know for sure if you died right now, you're going to heaven. In just a few minutes, we'll have folks standing over here, folks standing over here. You come down and say, look, I don't know that. I'd like to know that. And before you leave here today, you can know that your Redeemer lives, lasts, and loves. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and eyes closed.